Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 189 of Nerd Pride Radio. 189. In searching for 189, I found a textbook on DNA forensics, which listed a legal case called 189 People versus Barney. I liked that. Breitbart tells me that during 7 hours of questioning, Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, replied, "I don't know or I can't recall 189 times." PETA's Twitter account, PETA, P-E-T-A, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, their Twitter account tells me that a horse named Dr. Tittolo was raced 189 times to his death. And right there in the Google results, mathprob.com wants me to know that 189 multiplied by 552 is 104,328. All of these perfectly acceptable answers. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
I
am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. And, as always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like the lasso of truth. Okay, before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, first off, happy Father's Day. It is Father's Day as I'm recording, and it will be the day after Father's Day when you're listening to this, if you're, you know, one of those eager listeners that can't wait to get it first day it's out. And so, you know, hey, I've had a good Father's Day. I celebrated my Father's Day over a week ago when we went to go see Wonder Woman, and we all went out to dinner, and we had a wonderful time, and it was awesome. So I got all my gifts back then and everything. So today's just been kind of a lazy day, not doing a whole lot, and I'm really happy about that. But, again, before we get to the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, let's do some updates. Yeah, my weekly Inquirer update. So they've not been doing a whole lot of Trump stuff on their cover. For a while, it was Trump every single week on the Inquirer, and I was really enjoying that. But they're not doing that anymore. And so, like I said, the last time when I saw it, it was all about Michael Jackson and Steve Harvey and Bill Cosby, and it seemed like they were running a theme. It was an Inquirer cover theme of black beloved celebrities who have fallen from grace. And you know what? I think I was right, because since then I've noticed that all of their covers run on a theme. All right, when they're going to cover Trump and they do a big Trump picture right up front, then all the other headlines on the front page are all political. All right, but then they decide not to, and so they did apparently black celebrities. And then the next week after that, it was all about women who either had plastic surgery or they felt needed plastic surgery, women who were too fat, but various celebrities who they felt they needed to comment on their appearance. This week, it looks like the theme is cheaters. So they've got Steve Harvey back up there, and I can't remember what else was on the cover, but it was all about celebrities who are cheating on their spouses. So yeah, they're running a theme. And anyway, not a huge deal, just interesting to me. So also in updates, last week I was asked about the last time I did a cannonball. So therefore, when we went to the pool this week, I went
it
off.
It was ginormous!
Thank you. I made a point of going off the high dive and performing a cannonball. And the first
one. I told you to do it.
That's true. It was all Noah's idea.
Yeah. I didn't even know.
The first one I thought went pretty well. But then the second one, because it turns out that, you know, when I'm hurtling through the air off the high dive and, you know, I'm a lot older than I used to be, that whole, bringing all of my limbs in and curling up into a cannonball is a lot harder than it used to be. Like, suddenly there's, like, momentum in places that I didn't expect, and it was, so the first one, I don't feel like I really nailed it. But then the second one, I felt like I got some good form, and then when I hit the water, I felt it. Like, all the way across my thighs and my butt and my lower back, I mean, I felt the impact. So I knew, good splash, and that was the one that Eli said was most impressive. So I was very happy about that. So I need to update my answer to the last week's question and say the last time I did a cannonball was just this week, and it was pretty damn good. I would say the question was on a scale of 1 to 10, and I would give this probably a 9. I mean, obviously, I'm biased, and I'm seeing it from a different point of view than the traditional observer. But I think I did pretty damn good. I was very happy with that one. All right, and then also, last thing in updates is Kona Blend is back. My Java Monster Kona Blend is finally back on the shelves, and those of you who follow my Facebook account would have seen me already post up that, oh my God, Kona Blend is back. So that was pretty cool. And I've only had two of them. I mean, I saw that it came back, so I immediately bought two, one that I could drink that moment because, you know, had to celebrate. And then the next one I saved for work the next day. Man, it's just as good as I remember. I really like that Java Monster Kona Blend. I'm gonna try and keep it to a maximum of a once a week sort of treat. Like probably like every Friday at work, it'll be my thing. That's what I'm trying for, but we'll see how that pays off. We'll see how it goes. So anyway, hey, finally, after 9 months of not having it, maybe even 10, yeah, they finally decided to make more. And right now it's just in my local grocery, but you know, hey, that's where I go for my local groceries. It's not in any of my convenience stores anywhere yet. It's not at Walmart yet, but eventually it will be. It'll be back. All the convenience stores still have a slot for it. It still says Java Monster Kona Blend right there on the little tag. So they have a place to put it as soon as it gets shipped to them. That makes me happy. All right. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And first up, it's my science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. This is one that I've covered before, and I almost put it back in the updates section with everything else, but then I thought, God, you know, it's kind of getting to be an all updates episode, and so maybe I should make this an official science corner, so I am. And my brother brought up the space elevator again this week, and the space elevator again is a concept where we are going to have a platform in geosynchronous orbit, which means it's orbiting at exactly the spot above the Earth where its orbit keeps it exactly over the same spot on the equator at all times. So its orbital speed is exactly, it makes one rotation around the Earth in exactly a 24-hour day of the Earth, and therefore it's always over the same location. Okay, so you have your orbital platform there, and then you attach a cable. A really thick, heavy-duty cable, but a cable nonetheless that runs from that platform directly to the spot on the ground of Earth that is directly below it. And now, once you have your satellite in space connected to the ground with a cable, now anytime you need to take stuff up and down from space, you just run it up the cable. It is literally an elevator to space. You attach crawlers to that cable, they crawl on up the side of this thing, and they deliver your payload right up to the platform, and you literally take an elevator to space. It's an awesome concept, all right? And apparently completely workable. The thing that was holding us back before now was material science, and it has been for about the last 10 or 20 years that people have been saying that carbon nanotubes are going to be the material that finally takes the space elevator from science fiction into reality. That once we figure out how to do carbon nanostructures, they will have the tensile strength to actually be able to pull this off. And it looks like they're going to do it. Now, the corporation right now is a Japanese corporation called Obayashi, which every time I see Obayashi, I read it as Kobayashi, as in Kobayashi Maru from Star Trek, and it distracts me every time, but I'll try and get past that. Obayashi is a Japanese corporation that is dedicated to putting up a space elevator, and they are the latest thing, and this is the article that my brother linked to, is that what it will take is a spaceship going up. You'd send a rocket into space, and it has a cable that trails behind it. All right, this cable is connected to the Earth. Well, it's actually, one end will be connected to the Earth, but technically it should be unspooling behind the rocket as the rocket goes up. And this cable will be in, its full weight will be 20 tons. It is 20 tons of cable being rocketed into space, trailing behind this rocket until it finally reaches our platform in space, and that's where it stops. And now we've got our first cable all laid out, 20 tons worth to go. And this is the tough part. Geosynchronous orbit is 22,000 miles above the ground. So literally this rocket has to drag 22,000 miles of continuous cable from ground into space. That is just phenomenal to me. All right. And then I start doing some reading on it and some calculations. And I ask myself, okay, 22,000 miles of cable at 20 tons. Well, how much is that per square mile? Or per, not square mile, per mile. And it turns out that 1 mile of cable is like 1.8 pounds. So like 1.8 pounds of cable. Imagine what that, imagine what 1.8 pounds of anything weighs, just holding it in your hand. It's not much. Now imagine that whatever that thing is, it's now stretched out to be a mile long. That is incredible to me. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, at 1.8 pounds, I mean, like if I was doing copper wire and I took 1.8 pounds of copper and stretched it out to a mile, I mean, we'd be doing like sewing thread thickness worth of stuff, wouldn't we? I mean, that seems really, really thin. Like how is that possibly gonna withstand the forces on it holding a platform into space? And so I did some research on carbon nanotubes. It turns out carbon nanotubes, and here's where the material science hasn't quite caught up yet. Right now, the carbon nanostructures that we can build, you can buy carbon nano, whatever it is, cables, right now, and you can buy the material, and it will have a tensile strength of 63 GPa, which is gigapascals. And gigapascals means something like a billion newtons per square meter. That's, it doesn't matter. All you gotta know is it's a lot. All right. That, this sucker holds a lot of force for its size. And at 63 gigapascals, turns out that's not quite enough. We need to get up to 150 gigapascals to make the space elevator thing work. And they're really thinking we're going to get there in about 20 years. That the advancements that they've been making in carbon nanotube structures over the last how many, you know, years indicates to them that they, Obayashi says, yeah, 20 years, we should have it down. No big deal. Look, the theoretical, if you do all the math, the theoretical upper limit for carbon nanotubes is 300, and we only want to get to 150, so really, how tough could this be, right? And then I look up what is the density then of these carbon nanostructures, and it turns out that they're really light. Like that 1.8 pounds that we're going to use to make a mile of cable, that 1.8 pounds, really might only be as large as a cubic foot. I mean, that's, you know, and if you take a cubic foot and you do the math and you spread it out, you're like, oh, well, okay. I mean, it's a sixth of an inch in diameter. So it's not quite, you know, thread level. You know, it's bigger than kite string. It's, you know, it's twine-ish, I guess. And that's a lot thicker than I was thinking because this stuff is super light. But anyway, here's the deal. Once Obayashi gets that first cable up, all right, so 20 years from now, they feel like they'll have their material stuff taken care of. They'll have the right material. They'll be able to start manufacturing this cable. Once they have this 20-ton cable, great. They send it up, boom, locked in place. Now, to finish the construction, all they need to do is start sending crawlers up that thing with more cables, and they'll keep attaching layer after layer of cable until it's strong enough to do the full job and actually be a fully functioning space elevator, which they figure is going to take another 18 years of running stuff up and down that cable until the construction is complete. Oh, so I'm looking at, okay, Obayashi, you want 20 years to just get the material science figured out, and then a little time to actually manufacture it, and then 18 more years of construction. So 40 years from now, I'll have a space elevator I can ride into space. Oh man, I'm going to be in my late 80s by then, but you know what? I'll hold on just to see that, because this sounds wicked cool. So I'm looking forward to it. Also, as long as I am in the science corner, which I am, we had a near miss with tornadoes this week. I gotta say, I hate tornadoes. I hate hail. I hate high damaging winds. I hate stuff that's going to tear my house apart. Oh my God. I mean, I've told you, I've put three new roofs on this house since I bought it, and that's only been 20 years ago. So, I'm tired of putting roofs on this house. It's expensive. Yes, insurance covers it, but, oh man, it's still, I gotta pay my deductible. Oh God, it sucks. It sucks because it's also, and it's never just the roof. It's always the roof and, oh yeah, well, and then the hail took out the windshields on two of the cars, and then it's always something. So, anyway, that's beside the point. My own personal travails with hail and tornadoes is not of concern. What is of concern is finally after the tornado warnings had passed and the rain starts to clear up, I had to go over to my local grocery store, the one where I found Kona Blend, as mentioned previously. And in the parking lot there, I'm looking out and there's this gorgeous rainbow. I mean, the clouds are still out, and they are an angry dark gray, these clouds. And yet, the sun's at my back, and there's this gorgeous rainbow, and I am looking at the entire rainbow, end-to-end, crossing the sky. And I am struck, as I always am, every time I see a rainbow, I am struck that it is, just by their function, all rainbows take up 60 degrees of the sky. So, like, if you had six of them, like, where one rainbow ends, if you started another one there and just kept going around, it would take six of them to make a complete fence of rainbows around you. But they take up 60 degrees of sky, which, again, I love that because this seems so far out, but I love this fact. I once was writing I once was writing a short story about a space station that was in orbit around Jupiter, and it was floating in between Io and Europa, the two of the big moons of Jupiter. And that was this location in orbit around Jupiter. And at one point I thought, you know, I should figure out, for the point of view of the characters that live on this station, what does Jupiter look like from their perspective? How big is it in the sky? And amazingly, it turns out that Jupiter was, in this story, roughly 60 degrees of the sky. I mean, it like took up literally 1/6 of the sky from their point of view, just by random coincidence. So to me, every single time I see a rainbow and I can see the full rainbow like that, every time my first thought is, wow, okay, see, so if I was on my imaginary space station around Jupiter, that's how big Jupiter would be. And so I imagine instead of a rainbow there, I imagine that entire space is filled up with Jupiter coming up over the horizon. And it overwhelms me every time. I love that. It's so gorgeous. Maybe it's just me. I mean, but you know, that even if you don't know my space station and you don't, imagine that you're standing on the moon Europa. All right. Imagine that we've got a lander on Europa and Europa is looking out across the frozen ocean horizon to see Jupiter coming up. And that's what Jupiter looks like. That's just phenomenal to me. Oh man. All right. Anyway, again, maybe it's just me, but I love doing that. All right. That's it for the science corner. Oh, you know what's up now?
And now for something completely different.
That's right. It's time for something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. All right. let me tell you a little story. My wife Lisa and I are in Walmart and we're headed up towards the checkout counters, and She all of a sudden says, "Oh my God, how does he do that?" And I say, "What are you talking about?" She says, "All right, back up. We have to take a look at this. You got to see this." So we back up a couple of aisles, and there in the frozen food section is this dude. He's shopping. He's got his cart. He looks like he's maybe about 30, and he's pushing his cart, and at each corner of the cart is a child. None of them are in the cart. None of them are riding. All four kids are actually walking, and all four kids are holding on to one corner of the cart. And they're maybe 3 to 6 is my guess. All four of them. Like, there's a 3-year-old, there's a 6-year-old, and then there's a couple in the middle that are probably twins. All right. And I don't know if they had just come from church. I don't know what they were doing, but they were nicely dressed, and the kids are kind of joking around with each other. I mean, like, they were laughing and poking a little bit, but none of them are letting go of that cart. And all of them really well behaved, just walking along there. And my wife's like, "Wow, how does he do that?" And I, being funny, I said, "Oh, if any one of you bastards gets out of line, I swear to God, I will punch you in the face." That's how he keeps them holding onto the cart. And so we had a big laugh about that. But then we contrived to go walking down that aisle just so for the sole reason of passing by him so that my wife could stop and say, "Wow, I have to comment. You really have some very well-behaved children." All right. And, oh, she wants me to stress every time I tell this story. She wants me to stress that she's not saying it because it's a dude and a dude is taking care of kids. It's not that. It's that, look, for anybody, man or woman, with four kids that age, to have them all so well-behaved and everyone's doing so well and having a good time grocery shopping, she's impressed. Okay. So she says, "Wow, your children are really well-behaved. That's amazing. I have four kids of my own, and I can't even imagine getting them all to go grocery shopping with me and to be this good." And he says, "Well, they better be good. I just spanked that one." And that's when we both go, "Oh, ha, ha," because, you know, he could be kidding, right? Right? So, but it's a little uncomfortable. And so then we say, "Oh, well, really?" And him, sensing that maybe we're not taking him seriously enough, says, "Yeah, I'm still on probation for beating that one." Oh, he might not be kidding? Oh, well, that is, oh my goodness. Okay. And so again, maybe we're not getting the seriousness of his claims. He says, "That's right. I hit him 3 times with the belt. And for that, I just got out of 3 months of jail. And it cost me $10,000 in court costs and fines." Really? And at this point, I'm kind of looking at the floor. I glance over at him to see if maybe he's got an ankle monitor on. He doesn't. And so again, wow. Okay, well, that's all we wanted to say. Do you have a good day? And we walk away. And as soon as we got around the corner, of course, my first words are, "I was right!" Oh, this is one time. "Mike was right!" Yeah, I nailed that one. And it was so uncomfortable. Lisa, as soon as we get to the end, her first comment was, "Oh my God, I wanted to hold onto the cart just so he wouldn't hit me." It was bizarre. And then she's like, "Okay, so," she says, should I have said something? I mean, should I have explained to him that maybe, you know, they're good kids and hitting them with a belt is really not necessary?" I'm like, "Honey, no, you didn't need to explain that to him, because the officers that arrested him already explained that to him. The court system already explained that to him and gave him 3 months in jail to think about it. And guess what? He's still proud of it." Yeah, no, there was nothing. There was nothing we were going to say. I mean, seriously, what were you going to do? Step in and go, "Really? Well, you know, you don't have to beat them. They're good kids." He goes, the response obviously would be, "Well, of course they're good kids because I beat them. What the hell's wrong with you people?" No, that was not a conversation that you were going to win. There was no, oh my God. So the lesson learned, kids, don't talk to strangers. Oh, should have known better. Okay, enough of that one. It's time for Pod People.
Pod People. Pod People. Pod People.
That's right. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and every now and then I come in and share some of those with you. And Man, my lineup has just been changing like crazy. I've got some new and old podcasts that I've kind of put in or re-added in, and yet I'm not actually downloading all the episodes, but I keep them there so in case I need some spares. I've got new stuff that I've never heard before, but I'm willing to try out. Just all sorts of things. But of interest to me this week, first, Sayer. I have told you guys about Sayer before. It is a sci-fi story podcast that is just phenomenal. I just can't say enough about Sayer. It is, if you've ever played the game Paranoia, it is so Paranoia-esque that it's just not even funny, except it is funny while at the same time being scary and creepy. And it's just, Sayer is really, really good. It is a great sci-fi story with these creepy horror and comedic overtones. They're just awesome. And it's pretty coherent. And it turns out that Sayer, 45 episodes, was it. That was, you know, and I was so disappointed to get to the end because I just so badly wanted to keep living in this world. It's such a fun time. And 45 episodes, and that was it. And it told a complete tale, and I, you know, it was satisfying enough. I just, you know, wished there was more. And now, apparently through the magic of Kickstarter, I believe, Sayer has started releasing new episodes. And I assume they're going to just keep releasing them, because all of a sudden my feed lit up this week, and after I saw that it was downloaded, like 2 hours later, I had Sarah Beth messaging me to go, "Oh my God, Sayer's back." I'm like, "Oh my God, I know." It was very, very touching. And, the new episode, I mean, there's only one. It's like 15 minutes long, 20 minutes long, something like that. But it gives you a nice recap of everything that's happened so far, gives you a logical explanation of why we are continuing, kind of ties up some of the loose ends for us from previously to make sure we understand that, you know, the whole thing makes sense. Everything that we heard actually does go together in a logical order, like it was planned that way or something, and, or someone is just a genius at retconning. And so the new episode is good, and it gives me hope that I think we're going to get some new Sayer that's all going to be just as good as the old stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. So Sayer is back. So if you listened to Sayer before and you didn't notice that it's back, go listen. And if you've never listened to Sayer before, go back and start from episode one. It is so worth your time. It is, again, most of them are not huge episodes. We're talking, you know, 15, 20, sometimes a little bit longer episodes. But it's such a good show. And again, right now, 46 episodes, it's not that bad. Get yourself into it. Well, I suppose, even if they were all 15-minute episodes, we're still talking about 11 to 12 hours worth of stuff, and it's a little longer than that. So I guess it is kind of a time investment, but it doesn't matter. You love podcasts, so go listen to Sayer. The other one is, I found, because I thought to myself, I should be listening to more gaming podcasts. That's one that I've kind of drifted away from. I used to have a lot of role-playing game podcasts and one board game podcast. I need more board game podcasts. If anyone has any really good ones for board gaming specifically, I would love to tune in. But anyway, I thought I would go out and look around, and I found a podcast called Big Red Couch. And if you have not listened to Big Red Couch, and they don't seem to have a huge audience yet, they're really good. A couple of guys from New Zealand, although one lives in England, but I think they're both from New Zealand originally. It doesn't matter. And the guys on Big Red Couch, here's what drew me in. Their concept is every week they pull a writing prompt, and now, based on that writing prompt, they now have to design a role-playing game world around that writing prompt. And they go into the details, and they usually each come with their own idea, and then sometimes they play off of each other, or sometimes they have other ideas that, well, I didn't go with this one, but I thought maybe, and they'll develop something, and they even nail down, okay, what gaming system would I use to play this? What tone are we looking for? What kind of plot are you going to run? What? And the whole thing is very much a combination of the sensibilities of Instant Game, which I love, obviously, and when my brother Kyle and I used to do the Animal Cast, we used to have regular pitch episodes. And the pitch episodes were just, and I think we did maybe three of them over the course of Animal Ball. And the pitch episodes were, each of us would come to the table with three awesome ideas for games or game supplements or things we wanted to do. And we would just pitch them. We would pitch them to each other, and then we'd kind of hash them out a little bit, and we'd talk about them. And this is what they're doing. It is like Instant Game and Pitches rolled together into one big, gorgeous ball of fun. And they're really smart, and they're really funny, and I enjoy listening to them. So here's the thing. I'm listening to Big Red Couch and thinking how Instant Gamey the whole concept is. And based on one of their pitches, which was from an episode right before the one I started listening with, like episode 92, Scorpion Dancing. That was their prompt, is Scorpion Dancing. What are you going to come up with for that? And based on a previous episode, someone writes in and says, well, you know, if you're going to set this game in a, I think it was like a dimension hopping sort of thing or a quantum leap sort of thing where you keep winding up in a new world, every episode of the game. And the listener said, you know, if you're going to be doing that, might I recommend that you use Instant Game as created by Animal Ball and now hosted over at Nerd Pride Radio? Seriously? Like the first episode of Big Red Couch that I'm listening to, the first one, and they mention my game. That was incredible. I'm sold, obviously. Look, if you're gonna name drop me, yeah, I'm in. I'm in completely. And so I'm like, okay, no, wait, who was the listener? And so I roll back, and the listener was for, and this is just for you old school, folks, who remember, but the listener was Taz. Holy crap. Taz, Zurch. Yeah. So I thought that was super cool. Cause I know Zurch hangs out over at Fear the Boot. And I've seen him over at the Fear the Boot forums every once in a while, and he'll say howdy to me. And he always says, oh, you know, I need to come on back. I should start listening to the old episodes. I haven't listened in so long. And then he never does, as far as I'm aware. But still, God, how cool that he still plays Instant Game, still thinks fondly of it, and mentions it to the Big Red Couch guys. Well, the more I listen, it's okay, well, they also are very familiar with the Fear the Boot forums. I don't know, you know, what kind of connections there are there or how long they've been hanging out there or whatever. And so they mentioned Fear the Boot a couple of times, and I'm like, you know what? As long as I'm listening to gaming podcasts, boy, I should pick up Fear the Boot again. Because I used to really love Fear the Boot, and then after a while, I don't know if they got into a slump or if it was like a series of stuff that just didn't interest me, or I can't remember. You know, who knows? My tastes go up and down. And for whatever reason, there was just a point where I was like, you know, I'm not excited about Fear the Boot anymore. And I set it aside and then never went back. So I went and picked up a couple episodes. And, oh, man, it was like coming home. I kind of miss these guys. It was just so nice that it's like, you know, there's some new names and new voices, but there's also very familiar. Dan and Chad are still Dan and Chad. Doing their thing, and it was so nice. It was very comfortable just to sit in and listen to Fear the Boot again. So, you know, if you're a gaming fan and you're not listening to Fear the Boot, yeah, you probably should. But also, I'm telling you, Big Red Couch, and I've only listened to three episodes of Big Red Couch now. But so far, I'm sold. I really enjoy what they're doing. And so what I'm hoping to do is I'd really like to play along with them, because they announce what their writing prompt is going to be for the next episode. So therefore, if you want to get in ahead of the game and give your own idea, then they'll read it off there on their podcast after they give their ideas. Or if you were inspired by the things they talked about last time and you just want to add to it, then they go through those. They do a listener mail section that's really engaging. So, anyway, I recommend Big Red Couch. It's just a couple of guys, just shooting the shit about games, just designing games, dropping ideas, and they're a lot of fun. So, you know, there you go. There's my recommendation. All right. I am all done. It is time for the pod. Let me make sure this is on again. I don't want to screw it up like last week. It wasn't, so I'm glad I checked. Automatic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, that was him, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. I'm so glad you asked. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. All right, first number, 12. and 12. Oh, man, I might even be able to see that without rolling down. Sure enough. Oh, darn it. Okay, we're so close. So close. I had the list pulled up. Everything was ready, but I forgot to resort it after last week. So all I've got is, you know, 11 blank lines at the top. Let's see. Sort. Data has header row. Dater. I can't believe I said dater. All right. Anyway, sort by random number. Come on, baby. There we go. 12. 12 is from Kaz. And Kaz says, Universal Pictures has decided you're going to star in the next of their classic monster movies. Which monster do you choose to play? Also, how does Aiden dispatch you? Oh, that is horrifying. All right. Tell you what. Clearly, and all right, I'm sure Kaz sent this in a while ago. So he clearly had no idea how badly Tom Cruise was going to mess up the mummy, which is so sad. So sad. I mean, not that this was a great idea, but man, that was, I mean, what, seriously, what, they're each going to have their own standalone movie and then they're going to come together like a horror movie Justice League to do what? This seems silly. All right. But anyway, now that the mummy is over, especially once you say Aiden has to dispatch me, all right, I am going to do a werewolf version of the Shaggy DA, and we'll tell our Shaggy dog story, and it will be sort of a comedy as I try and communicate to people that no, I'm not a wolf, it's really me, Mike, but I'm also killing people at the same time, and so eventually, much like one of those early werewolf movies, Aiden is going to have to dispatch me, and it's going to be a sad, touching, moving moment. And he will wind up killing me with his silver-tipped cane or whatever gimmick we're going to use for it. And the movie will end with it becoming obvious that the curse has been passed along to him. And thus we know that he will be the terror in the next werewolf movie, or he will be the one that joins the Monster Justice League or whatever the hell it is. So that's probably how it's going to go down. 48. And we're only doing multiples of 12 this week, obviously, so you guys are just going to have to deal with that. I hope your question fell on a multiple of 12 if you're excited about it. 48 is from, good Lord, people, how tough is this game? There it is. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says, all right, hold on, then I should be ready to read here. Quick, what's your favorite Dan Aykroyd movie? Did you say Dr. Detroit? No, I didn't say Dr. Detroit, although I did immediately think Dr. Detroit. You asked me the question, and I think Dr. Detroit, but no, I still think my favorite Dan Aykroyd movie is Ghostbusters, as much as the man has made a fool of himself with this new Ghostbusters, and he's just not a... Oh, man. The guy's kind of a loon. He's kind of a conspiracy theorist. He's kind of a nutball in general. And he's been obsessed with making a new Ghostbusters movie since the last Ghostbusters movie. Because, you know, it is his baby. He did create Ghostbusters, you know. And so therefore, he's just, oh man, he's awfully intense about it. He was praising the new Ghostbusters, and then he was bad-mouthing it, and then he was blaming the director, and then he was, who knows what's going on. So, Dan Aykroyd has lost a lot of my respect in the last how many years. But, you know, I liked his early stuff. I guarantee you if I watch Dr. Detroit right now, that has got to be a horrible, horrible piece of crap, right? Doesn't it? I mean, it just has to be. It has to be racist and sexist. And, I mean, there's so much that's got to be bad about Dr. Detroit. And yet, again, as kids, I remember how funny that was. And the song that went with it. And the, oh, man. Now, okay. But having said Ghostbusters and not having said Blues Brothers, he said, if you didn't say Gross Point Blank, are you disappointed? No. In fact, I forgot he was in Gross Point Blank, and I didn't like Gross Point Blank. Maybe I watched it at a bad time because everyone else liked it. At the time I watched it, I don't know if I was distracted. I don't know if something else was going on, but I wanted to like it, and then I just didn't. It was, like, tedious, and I just couldn't wait for it to be over because I just wasn't enjoying myself. So, no, I'm sorry. But good call on your part. Yeah. 78, which is not a multiple of 12. I'm doing it wrong. It is a multiple of 6, though. So we're getting close. I mean, 12 goes in 6.5 times, right? It's close enough. All right. This one is also from Kyle. And Kyle says, here's a throwaway idea that someone can steal. You rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. It's a live improv show. Two guys doing their quote-unquote morning zoo radio show. Lots of auga horns and dumb voices and stuff like that. One guy is the straight man, and the other is the wacky, crude jerk. Over the course of the hour performance and their morning zoo show, it becomes apparent that the straight guy is having an affair with the other guy's wife. When the other guy confronts the straight guy, who admits it on break but denies it on air, it only results in callers berating the wacky guy for yet another cruel prank. Huh. Wow, that's, okay. It's a live improv show. Two guys doing their morning radio. Oh. Okay, I don't know if it's quite coherent enough. I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And so we have to do, would you do it as is this an improv show, really? I mean, or is this really just like a great radio play? Or a play? I mean, can we do something like that? I mean, as a play or as a film short? I don't know. This one's just not coming together for me. I'm sorry. I'm rating it a 4, but I see potential in it. I see that someone could do something really good with this. I encourage someone who could use this to take this idea. Kyle has just given it to you for free. Do whatever you want with it and see if you can make this really good. 97. That is... Hey, it's from Kaz. Kaz says... Core Earth Detroit... Hey, we have a theme going. Core Earth Detroit is under attack by the forces of the cyber papacy. Give your ragtag force of NT Ronin and Urukmen lizard cavalry a rousing speech to fight them off. You have put me in a bad spot here, Cass. All right, hold on. Core Earth Detroit is under attack by the forces of the cyber papacy. Give your ragtag force of NT Ronin and Urukmen lizard cavalry. Okay, so the Urukmen are actually on my side. Oh, I did not know that. Is this from somewhere? I mean, I don't recognize... I mean, all these terms seem vaguely familiar, but all right, I'm stalling. All right, tell you what. Look. All right. I got this. I can do this. Ready? What's that? Who's wishing we had more men? Which one of you is wishing we had more men here? Yeah, we're outnumbered. Yeah, they got us. We're way outnumbered. So what? I wouldn't want another man here. We're going to share our glory with them because we can take them. We can take them. And when we're done, we're going to be heroes. All right? When we're done, they're going to speak about this forever. They're going to sing songs about us. They're going to write movies about us. They're going to talk about us, our names. Forever engraved in history as the men who pulled this shit out. Cause that's what we're gonna do. Alright? So don't wish for anybody else here. Seriously. This is all on us. And when we're done, all of them are gonna be shamed. Shamed that they didn't have the balls to stand up next to us upon St. Crispin's Day. This is really just a paraphrasing of Band of Brothers speech, but it's the best I can do. So that they didn't have the balls to stand with us on this day. All right, there. That's the best I got. All right. I don't know what accent I was doing there either. I was kind of leaning over into Brooklyn there and then realizing that maybe that's just weird. And so I was very self-conscious about that. This is what I get. Just bring it. I'm so bad at this stuff. 42. Oh, you know, it's you guys. Honestly, it's these kinds of requests that have reminded me that I am not an actor. I always thought I was. I always thought my acting skills were pretty good. I always thought that when I was dungeon mastering, because, you know, I'm not a bad dungeon master. I come up with ideas and, you know, I put on voices sometimes and I do, but it's, I'm not as good at it as I thought I was. Oh, boy. And you guys just highlight my limitations here. But yeah, that was fun. Thank you, Cass. All right. This one's from Ronster. Ron says, what would you do to improve the decor of your workplace to make it more pleasant for you? Oh, my God. Make it more pleasant for me. You obviously haven't seen my office. I mean, honestly, I suppose I could hang a map of Galorion, the Pathfinder world that we're adventuring in. I could have a full giant sized wall map of the Pathfinder world hanging in my office. That would make me feel more at home, I guess. God, that would be so cool to look at too, wouldn't it? Look, my office already has a big Don Quixote picture up behind my head. My computer monitors are lined with little Fisher Price style with the giant feet, action figures of Star Wars characters from all sorts of different movies. I have a shelf populated entirely by my miniature nanoblock landmarks from around the world. So I have my nanoblock Eiffel Tower next to my nanoblock Statue of Liberty, and soon to be completed my nanoblock Great Wall of China that I just got. I've got like over a dozen of those things. I've got toys. Yancey has toys all over the office. There are big foam dice laying on my desk just so people can come in and go, what are the dice for? And then I get to have talks about games and Dungeons and Dragons and all sorts of cool stuff. So my workplace really, our room is ours and we love our space, and it's a mess, because, you know, we're two messy, lazy guys and that's just how it works out. But, I really like our workspace. It's very, very nice. And everyone who comes down and sees us knows that, hey, well, this is what you get in the IT room. We've got a workbench that's just covered with machines in various stages of repair and disrepair. We've got extra equipment piled in boxes and shelves, and we've got, you know, all of that stuff. But then we also have our toys and our nerd stuff and our, it's a nice place. I am not complaining about my office in the least. 78 we did already. Because it was 12 times 6.5, remember? 93, let's try that one. And 93 is... there it is. It's from Kyle. Surprise. Kyle says, on threat of terrible violence to your family, you have to leave them and choose another area of history in which to live. It has to be more than 100 years ago, and it can be anywhere on Earth. What and when do you choose? I am going to choose to live, I would suppose, okay, this is the cheap and cheating and honest answer, really, is I am going to choose to, I'm granting, since you don't specify, I'm granting the ability to speak whatever language it is that I need when I get there, but maybe that's not included. All right. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. But tell you what, I will go, 100 years ago. So as recently as humanly possible. All right. So I'll go back to 1917 and, I will put myself somewhere in America. All right. And, I am already too old to be drafted. So, well, not that there was a draft in World War I, but too old to be going to war, so no one's going to question me for not going to join the war at that point. And I do have sort of a heads up. I've got some advanced knowledge and a heads up on the crash of the stock market. So, you know, when the Depression comes around, it's going to be miserable. But look, it doesn't matter what era of history I go to, there's going to be the economic crash of whatever market that comes around every 20 years anyway. So it's not like, I mean, yeah, Great Depression is one of the worst ones, but again, it's not like you're going to avoid that. And then, 1917 would put me Yeah, living through the tail end of World War One, and then assuming I survive another 30 years in that environment and live to be almost 80, then, you know, I'll be, you know, living through World War II again, and, well, again, as if I was there the first time. But here's the reason for my answer, is that I am choosing to be living as recently as possible because that means medicine is most advanced and my expected life expectancy is as long as humanly possible. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for modern medicine. I don't want to go back 200 or 300 years and wind up dying of some stupid infection because I'm an idiot who doesn't know how to use the equipment of the age or whatever. There's just so much danger. The further back you go, the more dangerous life is. And I'm soft. So I'm going to take the cheating answer, and I'm going to go back to exactly 100 years ago and take up residence somewhere in the U.S. and just make the best of things. That's all I got. All right. So there might be some interesting places that, you know, it would be nice to go see. I, you know, maybe if I go back, you know, take a little bit further back, maybe, you know, arrange to meet Mark Twain or something like that, or, you know, but who knows for sure. No, I'm just going to go 100 years ago. Take the easy way out. 25. Yeah, 25 is from, and nope, there it is. It's from Kaz. All right. So Kaz and Kyle are running neck and neck with just one filler from Ron in the middle of it. And Kaz says, all the Lectroids from Planet 10 have the surname John. What is your Lectroid name? I am going to be... That's a great question, Kaz. And since Cutter is already taken, I will go with... I want to be either Whiffle. I could be Whiffle John. Or I could be Dragon Slayer John. Either of those are perfectly acceptable to me. 29 is from Stan. Hey there, Stan. And Stan says, how many Jones brothers does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. We make our kids do it. That's why we had them. Well, you just had me because you wanted a slave.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad!
Exactly, and I'm not getting my money's worth. Okay. 24. The 20 must be stuck, but that's okay. At least I don't have to be scrolling around anywhere, right? All right. This one's from Zimney. Zimney says, what out-of-print RPG would you most like to see back in publication? Why? Paranoia Second Edition. Because Paranoia Second Edition was the greatest version of Paranoia, and I loved it. And I don't... The Paranoia First was all right as a rough draft, but... it was more serious than it had to be and needlessly complicated. And second edition took out some of those rough edges and had some of the best supplements ever. Okay? Acute Paranoia was the single greatest gaming supplement ever for any role-playing game. Acute Paranoia was a masterwork in its usefulness and entertainment value, and it was amazing. I loved that book. I still love that book. All right. But also because the subsequent versions of Paranoia, Paranoia 5th Edition, Paranoia XP, they're not necessarily bad. Well, 5th Edition was bad, but not necessarily bad, but they, none of them at this point has added, in my mind, anything substantive of value to Paranoia. They've tweaked it a little bit. They've colored it here and there, but it's still essentially the exact same game with the exact same themes and the exact same tone that it's always been. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you're going to do a cover song and you're going to sing it exactly like the original, then I'll just listen to the original is the way I feel about it. And so, you know, as much as I know they put a lot of work into it and there's a lot of creativity there, I just don't feel like anybody's done enough to warrant learning a whole new system and figuring out all new, it just not worth it to me. I would rather just stick with Paranoia Second Edition, which again, love. I wish that thing was back in print. It was an awesome, awesome game. Still is. Still playing it to this day. 14. Well, so much for the 20 being stuck, right? 14 is from Kyle, and we'll finish off with Kyle here. I think this is number 10, but My count was off last week. I thought it was 10 and it was 11, so what do I know? Anyway, Kyle says, I think you've talked about instant breakfast before. Do they still have that? Yeah, of course they do. Anyway, now explain to the kids what Tang was, and seriously, why were people tricked into giving their kids Tang? Was it supposed to be good for us? Okay, first off, instant breakfast is a chocolate powder mix. Well, you can actually get it in lots of flavors, but the common one is chocolate. And it is a chocolate powder mix that you put into milk, and supposedly it is fortified with all the vitamins and minerals you need to start your day when you can't actually spare the time for eating a real breakfast. Here's the thing about instant breakfast. Is as much as I like instant breakfast, because I drank it as a kid, as much as I like it and it's very nostalgic for me, you can get the same nutritional content actually from Slim Fast. And Slim Fast makes an awesome vanilla flavor. And the French vanilla Slim Fast is really good. But here's the thing, is you look at instant breakfast and you look at Slim Fast, and Slim Fast has the exact same, if not better, set of vitamins and minerals and nutrition to start your day with, all within 200, 210 calories. It's essentially the same stuff, except one is labeled Slim Fast and one is labeled Instant Breakfast. And Slim Fast is half the price. So, you know, if you like Instant Breakfast, but you don't mind drinking Slim Fast and substituting in, in my opinion, that French Vanilla Slim Fast tastes even better than Slim Fast, yeah. Tastes better than the instant breakfast. It's way cheaper. But, yeah, that's just me. I don't happen to have any right now. But there have been times I'll go through phases where I'll buy some and that'll just be my quick, easy breakfast, you know, 3-4 days out of the week. And then I'll get tired of it and I'll switch back to doing, you know, peanut butter toast or, you know, half a bagel with a slice of cheese on it or whatever it is. So, all right. But what was Tang? Oh my God. You guys go get some Tang. I know they still make it. Go get some Tang and try it out. It's orange drink is what it is. And we were tricked into drinking Tang because it was supposedly just as healthy as orange juice, but in a powdered drink. So it was like powdered orange juice, except it didn't taste like orange juice, but it did taste like orange drink. And it supposedly was filled with, again, all sorts of vitamins and minerals and healthy stuff. So, it was all the nutrition of orange juice, but in a powder drink. And it was invented for astronauts. And that's why we should drink it, is because astronauts drank it. So therefore, it's good for kids. Something like that? Right. So yeah, it was supposed to be good for us. I don't know if it actually was. I've never looked. But I suppose I have the internet here. Hold on. So I go to Google and I type in, is Tang health? I was going to say healthy, but it suggests to me, is Tang healthier than orange juice? And so I come to a website that answers that exact question at the healthy diet, healthydietbase.com, the difference between Tang powdered juice and orange juice. And it first tells me that yes, they still make Tang today. It comes in 38 different flavors, which just seems excessive to me. It points out that actually drinking Tang is healthier than drinking any natural fruit juice, because it's intentionally fortified with, you know, it's like they've ground up a multivitamin into it. So yeah, it's got all sorts of good stuff with no fats, it says no fat, no protein. 90 calories and 24 grams of carbohydrates from sugar. That's the one bad part about Tang, is that you're going to start off with those, basically every calorie in it is a calorie from sugar, straight sugar. But other than that, yeah, it's healthier than juice. So there you go. Drink Tang, kids. It's what the astronauts drink. All right, that was it. So we're all done with the Podomatic. I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit, and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way!"
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was She Blinded Me With Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks Versus Me Like Trivia, Nerd Pride Radio itself, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us nice reviews, give us 5 stars. Those sorts of things make a difference, but biggest thing you could do for us. We want to do something really nice. Recommend it to your friends. Because if you're enjoying it, seriously, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But as usual, to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You'll sign up there, send me a message, and we will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll go to Gen Con together. We'll have fun. And now it is time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording. Anything you want to include at the end of the podcast, put it right there, and I will read it off when I get to the end of the podcast. I already said end of the podcast. Damn it, I can't believe I'm... screwed that one up. Doesn't matter. Whole point is, that's what I'm doing right now. So, let's go ahead and see what people said. Starting at Facebook, I was just here 30 seconds ago because I was starting to get ready during the GLaDOS portion. And so I pulled it up just to make sure that the page was here. And Kaz had not posted anything yet. But now, 2 minutes later, he had. So you got in just in time, man. Good work. All right. Let's see. First off is... Oh, wait. Hold on. There's one more. Oh, nope. That's something else entirely. Has to do with the Boy Scout page. I don't need to worry about that one. Okay. First up is from Nelly, and Nelly says, "Hi, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth for a layover just on my way home from Origins Game Fair. Check out my vlog if you're curious about it. Mike, what do you think would take my blogging to the next level?" Oh, damn. That's a great question. And first off, for those of you who are not listening to Nelly at Nelly's Nerdy Adventures, go to YouTube and look up Nelly's Nerdy Adventures, and she goes to all sorts of different conventions and game events, and she vlogs about them, and she records her day, and she meets people, and she plays games, and she sees awesome events, and we get the Nelly's eye view of the whole thing, which is, you know, lower to the ground than your usual view, but that's okay. Super entertaining. She's a lot of fun. So what would take it to the next level? Honestly, the next level is promoting them. That's because what you're doing is already super entertaining and fun. I really like watching your stuff. And, in my opinion, at least, it's doing what you're doing already, but, more regular content so that you're producing stuff even when you're not at a convention. I mean, there's still game stuff that goes on a regular basis. There's nerd stuff in your sphere of influence that's just always there. So there's always things that you could be doing. You could be giving us updates of different kinds. So we already have your videos from conventions and events, and they follow a standard format, and they're fun to watch through. You could be coming up with different types of videos for times that you're not at some sort of convention or event. So regular content is one of the keys if you want to go to the next level, so that people can know that they can expect something from you, you know, every week or every 2 weeks or whatever it is your schedule is. people need to know that that stuff is coming. And then, you know, doing stuff to promote it, you know, just sharing it with people, reaching out to other people, making, you know, being interested in other people's stuff and then making them aware of your stuff once you're, you know, on a good enough basis with them. I've already said, like last week, I said, I'm not good at the networking part myself, so don't take anything I say as gospel. But I would honestly think that first and foremost is more regular content, because those of us who like watching you already like watching you. We just want to see more of it. We just want to see more stuff. Because we care about what you think and we care about how you want to present stuff to us. And so, just do more of that to start with and have fun with it. That would be my big thing. And then, you know, when it comes to the promotion part of it, you go to enough events, you know enough people that you can spread the word and you can get other people joining in with you. More people spreading the word about what it is that you're doing. But, you know, you got to give them stuff to promote. So that would be it. Sarah Beth comments on that and just says that she loves watching your vlogs. Oh, of course. Who wouldn't? All right. Next up, Sarah Beth says, hi, Mike. Hope you had a good week. Describe the logo that you'd want made for the Nerd Pride Network. Okay. The Nerd Pride Network is going to, if I was going to have a logo, it would be similar to the logo I already have. And it would start with the current retro mod radio that Zombie designed for me and that I really, really like. And someone suggested, by the way, Nerd Pride Radio tattoos for those of us who want tattoos. And I think it's a good idea. But I'm also thinking it's such a good idea that I may order like a sheet's worth, because you can buy from different places. You can buy a sheet of tattoos, you know, just one 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, a sheet of tattoos for like $15. So if I did a sheet of temporary tattoos and I fit 8 of them on there for us, then when I get to Gen Con, why, all 8 of us could be sporting Nerd Pride Radio tattoos or the Nerd Pride crew or something like that. The Nerd Pride, as we labeled ourselves, but something. I might do that. We'll see. But, when it comes to coming up with a logo for the network, actually, Noah has just come up and whispered in my ear that he has an idea. So you go ahead and talk first, buddy.
I think it would be cool if for the Nerd Pride Network, it would be your symbol already for Nerd Pride Radio, except there's a bunch of them and they have different faces and stuff because everyone's different there.
That would be kind of cool.
The same.
You know what? I actually think that's a really good idea. I would love to see my Nerd Pride Radio, the radio itself, put there and then have the little dotted line connections or whatever to indicate that it's a network, and then have
more radios, but with different faces.
Right. Have like 3 or 4 other nodes out there that maybe have something that indicate the Angry Geeks or Me Like Trivia or someone else who may join us at a later date. And then also maybe the dotted lines continue to indicate that there's potentially more people. Or maybe that gets too confusing. Maybe it needs to be something wholly self-contained. But it would be something like that. It would be start with my radio and then the dotted lines to indicate a network. Maybe just a simple triangle of stuff. But yeah, I like Noah's idea. I like the idea of having, you know, smaller radios that have other people's logos or faces or something attached to it, to indicate that it's all different stuff. That's a good point.
But they're all the same.
And then, right, we're all tied together thematically by being part of the Nerd Pride Network, and yet we're also all individuals and different, which is, you know, why you'd want to listen to them. And then, just next to it or underneath, it says Nerd Pride Network in the same font that is currently used for my current logo. And I think that would work for me, I think. So something like that. Although, ultimately, you know, I would spout off a whole bunch of garbage like this, and then I would turn it over to someone like Zombie or someone else who is a actual graphic designer. And then they'd go, well, how about something like this? Because, I mean, Zombie, the logo I have now, that was him just completely off the top of my head. It was complete or off the top of his head. He came to me and, you know, I mean, you guys saw my crappy early logo with my old timey pixelated radio, and it was, you know, it got the point across. But Zombie came to me and just said, look, I don't want to be presumptuous, but how about something like this? I was like, dude, yes, that's it. So, yeah, the difference between what I can come up with and what an actual professional graphic designer who gets paid for their work can do is, you know, night and day. So, you know, I have some good ideas, but I'll turn it over to some professional artist or professional designer, and they'll come up with something super cool for me because that's what they do. Let's see. Next up is Kaz, who, like I say, got in at just the last moment. And Kaz says, tell us your best moment as a parent. And happy Father's Day. My best moment as a parent, I don't know if it's my best, but, it is, recently, and there's been, when I say recently, I mean in the last year, there's been a couple of conversations that I've had with Jacob, now that he is an adult, and he has shared with me things that I told him or did for him when he was a child, and things that he took to heart, and things that actually changed stuff for him and actually made a real difference. There was, when we were at Boy Scout camp when he was 11, it was his first time at Boy Scout camp, and we were at Boy Scout camp, and Jacob was kind of teased and picked on by the other scouts. All right. Not severely so, but you know, he could be an annoying kid at times, and they just found it easy to pick on him sometimes. All right. And this is before Jacob became super cool. This was in fact the turning point for him. And one of them was the preacher's kid. And they had some sort of thing where it was just clear that he was just picking on Jacob because he thought it would make him cool. You know, he thought it would help him fit in with the others. It was an easy thing to do. And, you know, you're 11, 12 years old and you just want to fit in. It's that getting into sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that junior high mess. And so I said something to the kid, and I said, dude, you realize you're only doing this because you're trying. I mean, and you know, and you hate to step in because you hate to be there. You know, it feels like you're fighting your kid's battle for him, but it wasn't that. It was, I was watching a scout get out of line, and I thought this was just so uncharacteristic for this kid. And so I stepped in and I just said, dude, you know, that's really out of line. I think you really carried it too far, and I don't think that's who you are, and I don't think that's who you want to be, and maybe you need to look at the reasons why. And I remember the kid was really upset by it at the time. And then a month later, 2 months later, they had become friends. And by the next year at camp, they were best friends. And they remained best friends until, you know, they graduated high school and they went their own separate ways, and now they still are in touch, but you know, you don't get to spend best time together, like they used to. And it was because I said something. So, and which I, you know, again, I was just stepping in as a scout leader, talking to a scout who was acting a little unscout-like and saying, dude, come on, seriously. And it wasn't, I didn't discipline him. I didn't tell him what he, it was basically just a matter of, wow, that seemed a little unscout-like, and I think you really need to examine why you're doing what you're doing. And it paid off. And that was really the reason that they became friends, is that he reconsidered. And God, he's an awesome kid. Awesome. Well, not kid. They're both adults now. Another one is when Jake was younger. Apparently, I had told him that, look, when you meet somebody new, you know, you only get one shot at a first impression. When you meet somebody new, smile, be friendly, you know, try and lift people up, try and be supportive, try and be happy. I told him, you know, smile at people. Even, you know, if you know them, if you don't know them, just on a regular basis, just try and smile at people. You would be amazed at how much it improves people's attitudes. And he's talking to me, you know, sometime in the last 6 months, and told me how he really took that to heart and how he's always tried to live by that, and he thinks it's always paid off for him. And, I mean, like I say, Jacob, when he was in elementary school, yeah, Jacob was kind of picked on and kind of dorky and really super awkward and, you know, maybe a bit of a spaz. And he turned things around, and, you know, hopefully I can take credit for some of that as being a good parent. Hopefully his mom can take credit for some of that being a good parent. But a lot of it is Jacob worked on turning himself around. He decided that, you know, it was his decision to decide, look, why do I care what other people think about me? I'm going to be who I'm going to be, and I'm going to enjoy it. And that's the guy he became in junior high, and then ultimately, especially into high school, that's the guy he became. He became the guy who was in drama and band and, you know, speech and all of this classically nerdy stuff in high school, and yet was super popular. And people admired him, and people wanted to be like him. And he still will occasionally run into people who knew him from speech, and they're like, oh my God, dude, you were a legend. Because he had the right attitude for it. He decided he didn't care what other people thought. And again, if he's going to tell me stories that attribute some of that to me and tells me how powerful that was for him and moving for him, I'm like, wow, cool. I did something right. I didn't know it at the time, but you know, I know it now. I'm also sure that somewhere buried in there are stories from all of my kids of times that, you know, I absolutely said or did the wrong thing and devastated them and scarred them for ages. So that's probably hidden in there too, but they're not telling me those stories. So I'm just going to take credit for the good parts. Anyway, all right, that's it for Facebook. Let's go ahead and skip on over to my forums and see if there's anybody over here. All right, forums, blah, blah, Nerd Pride Radio. All right, anybody? Oh, listener betrayal, it's just me. Well, Kaz got in on the other side, so we'll call it good. Post in that we're done, and that's it. We're done, guys. So thank you very much for joining me. I had a really good time today. This is awesome. And you guys are the best. I love you. I will see you next week. Say goodnight, Eli.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Noah.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, R2. I'll see you guys next week.